Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And today's recording session is a little bit different. Mark and I have been both going through pretty busy seasons of life. And we had also just finished seasons of life where we were really invested in watching a lot of wrestling from particular years and particular eras. I mean, we were watching a lot of wrestling, a lot of bad wrestling.
2 years of pay-per-views and a bunch of Nitros and Raws.
Burned out. So we've decided, you know, this is episode's not going to be about wrestling. Mm-hmm. But we know our audience because we are our audience. We are nerds, and all our friends are nerds, and all of our audience are nerds. And if you don't know that,
that's just the way it is.
If you don't know that, that's all the people need to know, that you're nerds.
You did. That's all the people need to know, which is Baron Von Raschke.
I did it in Ivan Koloff.
And you did it as Nikita Koloff or Ivan Koloff.
Do the Baron Von Raschke.
I can't.
Who's a super.
And that's all other people need to know. I don't know.
I think you missed it, dude. I can tell you what he sounded like at the airport.
Like a guy from Minnesota.
He did. Super nice guy. Like, I just kept looking, and I said, sir, I'm not trying to draw. He was just sitting there, so right. I wasn't interrupting them. I said, sir, I'm not trying to, like, draw unwanted attention, but can I get your autograph? I'm a big fan. He's like, you know who I am? I'm like, yes, sir, man, the Claw.
I bet he doesn't get that very often, really.
I said, sir, I said, the Claw, man, Baron Von Raschke. Yes, sir. I was like, you know.
Did you do the Claw? Did you?
No. And because I didn't want to be like, do it.
You didn't want to make a deal and then a bunch of other people.
So I just very quietly, I said, you know, very quietly handed him, you know, a Sharpie and my book. And then he said, hey, you know, and I had on these shorts somewhere in the day. I had on these camouflage shorts. He said, are you in the Army? I said, no, sir. I'm just, you know, going to, you know, I'm speaking at a youth camp, just going and out there. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, hey, you know, good luck with the kids, man. I hope it goes well. And then, like, 5 minutes later, they got called. So him and the person he was with, which I found out they were going to a wrestling show somewhere. This was at the Charlotte airport. And then as soon as he goes, somebody says, who was that? I said, that's Baron Von Raschke. They're like, oh, man, yeah. And I was glad that I didn't make a big scene out. Right. Because, I mean, I don't like being bothered when I'm in the airport.
Yeah, I hate it when people keep stopping and ask me. I tell you the one time that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Yeah. I have to admit, it was cool, man. Because I did work indies around the area, and I was at the Anderson Mall, and I was just looking at a magazine, and I saw these three or four guys, and they were kind of young. And they walked over, and we were like, at first I was like, oh, here we go. You know, I'm fixing to be in a situation, you know what I mean? And they said, hey, are you, you wrestled the other week? And I was like, oh, yeah, I did. And then I was like, God, what did I say? Because I was a bad guy. And I thought, here we go. You know, there again, I'm still kind of on the defensive because I want to make sure what's going to happen. And they go, man, you were such a jerk.
Yeah.
And it was the best part of the show.
Really?
And we just thank you because we enjoyed what you did better than anybody because you were just jawing with us. And I apparently went back and forth with these guys verbally and was just cutting them down. And they were cutting me down. And they were like, man, we had the best time during your match.
Yeah.
Because you just hounded us the whole time. And we just thought that was great.
Yeah.
And they shook my hand and told me that was a cool moment, man, to get recognized. Nobody recognizes me anymore.
I didn't recognize you the other day.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't, did you?
When, you know, if the internet had been around with those guys, they would have got on Facebook. Like, that guy's such a jerk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I can't believe he's so mean. Mark Hansen. A guy named Mean Mark Hansen. He's just a big old bully and a jerk. I can't believe it.
Yeah. But they were invested in it at the time, then they got the entertainment aspect of
that's
it.
That's great.
And that was cool, man. The one and only time I ever got noticed out in public, but it was cool.
So today what I want to talk about, you and I both recently saw the new Marvel film, Avengers Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. It is the end of Marvel's phase one of their cinematic universe. So what I want to talk about today is Marvel phase one and then talk about some of the other comic book shows that are on TV, and just kind of talk about all that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it'd be good. So first of all, let's start at the end of Phase One. Avengers Age of Ultron, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. I told you when I texted you about it. I felt like I had that Dark Knight Rises syndrome mm-hmm. going on where I really had high expectations for it,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't quite live up to those expectations.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it wasn't a good movie and that I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did. I had a good time. I walked out with a smile on my face. That great moment at the beginning when they're having that battle, because if you read comics, there's always a panel where everybody is kind of lined up in a row heading into battle.
Yeah.
And they actually were able to convert that to film, which I thought was phenomenal. Yeah. I thought that was just an incredible moment where people, like Hawkeye's pulling the bow back and the Hulk's got the roar on his face and Captain America's got the shield. You know, it was just, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was a cool spot in the movie that I really enjoyed.
The I took my three kids to see it opening night, and they all loved it. Really, really. My son really enjoyed it.
Yeah, my nephew loved it too.
The way I've described it to people is I thought it was great, thoroughly enjoyed it. I wouldn't put it in a time capsule.
No, I didn't think it like set a standard like the first Avengers did, which I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
Just really loved it.
Because once the Avengers won, that had never been done before.
No.
And now we've seen it, and I thought the film had a good mix of humor. I'm hoping, and I've heard that, you know, there'll be deleted scenes and all that stuff on the Blu-ray and the DVD. And I think I would really love to see if there's a director's cut. I think that would be really cool to see, because I do think some of the scenes cut, there were a few things that, and again, in the middle of the movie, as I'm watching the movie, I didn't ask a lot of questions. I'm just enjoying the movie. When it got over, I asked a few. I was like, well, I didn't really get this. But that may be explained. So,
by the way, spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
Just for those that are listening.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Everything that happens. I'm not going to. I mean, we've both seen it.
Yeah.
Whenever we get done talking about it, we'll tell you what the. Well, I guess we can't tell them what the time code is for when they can fast forward through, because they won't hear it. So if you don't want to hear it, you might want to jump up 10 or 15 minutes, because we're going
to
talk about
it. If you're listening to this show, and Avengers, by the time you're listening to this, Avengers Age of Ultron's probably been out
It's probably out on DVD.
It's probably been out a month. If you haven't seen it by yet, this probably isn't the show for you.
And you probably don't care if you hear the spoilers. But I just like to say that, because I'm not, we're going to be talking about the plot, everything.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I felt that it's the end of Phase One, which was great. If you look at all the Marvel movies as pieces of the puzzle, I thought they all really worked. My opinion on comic book movies now is, somebody can say, boy, Thor Dark World, boy, that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was 2 hours.
Yeah. Okay. That's right.
I mean, you know.
I didn't think that it was terrible, but I didn't think it was great either. I didn't think it was as good as the first Thor. But
I want to jump all over the place. So this may be a good place to say this. So when they started this, they know that eventually they're leading to Thanos.
Uh huh.
The first movie of Phase One, if I'm not mistaken, was Iron Man 1.
Right.
Which is a film very centered on the humanity of Tony Stark.
Uh-huh.
And then they've built to this realization through several movies that we're not alone in the universe.
Right.
Man, our city got attacked, and how we respond to that. And now SHIELD's been infiltrated. And so how do we respond, and what do we do to... what do we deal with this knowledge that we have now? And you know, from what I've heard, you know, Captain America Civil War will deal with some of that. I find it interesting that the DC movies are going the opposite of that. The first movie of the DC universe that's going to be connected was Superman with Man of Steel. So they start off with, we're not alone
in
the universe.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I do think there'll be some parallels, but it'll be interesting to see. That's what you start off with. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, that will be interesting. You said it good. I can't say anything else about comic books. This is a flip flop thing. When we're talking about wrestling, a lot of times I think things that you don't think about. And when it comes to comic books, I defer to you, man. You know a lot more about them than I do. I'm a casual reader of comics.
Yeah, I read them casually.
And you read them you read a lot of comics, and I don't.
Yeah,
I read the big storylines.
Right.
When they're completed. You know.
And Convergence is going on now. I think it's got two more weeks. And it's been satisfying to me. Yeah. It's been different. Well, excuse me. It has been different because it's the same. Listen.
It's the same. It's like wrestling.
If you have read DC since Crisis on Infinite Earths in 1985, you know what you're getting with a DC story. There's a bunch of universes, and something's happening, and they're getting threatened, and now they got to come together, and here they're going to fight. Oh, there's a big bad guy you never heard of before, and then they're going to take him out, and ha, hoo, ha, boom.
And Darkseid's going to be at the... He's going to be the guy behind all of it in the end.
Right. Yeah. They're actually doing – it's weird. Yeah, it's weird how they're doing all that. All right, let's go back to Marvel Phase – before we go to Marvel Phase 1, did you see the Dawn of Justice trailer in the theater? Did they show that?
I don't think I saw it in the theater, no.
They didn't show that in the previews. No, I did think it was odd that they were showing a DC preview before Age of Ultron.
I don't think so. I don't think I saw that in the – I saw the Ant-Man promo, which is okay.
Yeah. I'm going to just tell you. Ben Affleck is Batman.
You think so? I think, there again, I've said Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne.
When I saw him in the suit in the Dawn of Justice trailer.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I am in. Like that, the suit, I love it. I can't say.
I heard a lot of people griping about the suit with the eyes that were lit up, like the biomechanical suit that Batman had on.
Yeah.
Like, why is he wearing that? And I'm like, have you ever read The Dark Knight? Because that scene is directly lifted from The Dark Knight Returns, correct?
Correct, yes.
That is one
iconic.
It really is. That when he's got that particular suit on, and Superman's up there. I don't know if the dialogue is the exact same.
No, he doesn't say. He has this great line, and they read it at one of the, like, Comic Cons. They were showing some clips, and then they put up on the screen, you know, Clark, when you're all alone, I want you to know, and you're beaten, I want you to know, it was me. Just this iconic line, but the whole, do you bleed? You will.
Yeah.
That's freaking Batman. Because here's, at the end of the day, Batman will mess you up. Like, Batman is not going to kill you, but you may not walk.
You'll be wishing you were dead.
Right. Let's kind of go through the
But Avengers, I want to go back and talk about the one scene.
Yes, sir.
What I would say about him is, they were heroes in that movie.
You're right.
They took my criticism of Man of Steel was we destroy this city with no thought.
Right.
And I loved, it was almost like somebody heard that criticism and said,
Josh Whedon listens to
let's,
the show.
Let's fix that. Yeah. So you get this 30, 45 minute setup of them saying something's going to happen in this city. Yes, we can't save everybody, but let's get the crowd control and they put people on the ground specifically to get people out of harm's way before it starts happening. And even while it's happening, they're making the effort to save as many people as they can before they fight the big bad. And Hawkeye, when he talked and had that scene
amazing
with Scarlet Witch, and he says, look, you were going to talk about that, wasn't you?
No, I wasn't. You go ahead.
When he tells her, look, I can leave you right here, and I can send your brother to get you if that's what you want.
Yeah.
But you got to make that choice. And then he says exactly what everybody else has been thinking. Look around you. We got a Hulk, and we got a God, and a guy in a suit, and Captain America, and I'm just a guy with a bow and arrow.
And the city's floating.
And the city's floating, but I'm going to go out there because it's what I do.
That's my job.
And it's my job. So you got to decide whether you want to stay here and I can send your brother to get you, or you can step out that door. And if you step out that door, you're an Avenger.
Yeah.
Great. And I thought that scene was the best scene in the movie.
Oh.
To me. For me, it was the best scene. It was the, and her storyline, that was the time. For some reason, I don't know, maybe it's just because I think she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen, who played Scarlet Witch. I don't know what it was, but for some reason, everything that happened with her was when I had the most emotional responses in the movie. Like when I would get the goosebumps and I would really be into it, for some reason, it was when she was on the scene.
Yeah.
And her, I don't know what that was, but then Quicksilver saving Hawkeye and that little boy was just, it was heartbreaking.
And then that line, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, because he had said that to him, bet you didn't see that coming, bet you didn't see that coming.
I will say this. If aliens came and said, we will destroy your planet unless you can show us what a hero is, I would show them that Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch clip.
True.
I'd be like, that's what a hero is.
So you would put it in a time capsule then? Because you said that you wouldn't put that movie in a time capsule. But now you have just said, if they said, show us what a hero is,
you know,
that's what you would point to show somebody what a hero is? Because I might would go with, like, men and women in law enforcement in the military. Maybe they're a little bit more heroic doing real things.
Well, no.
Firefighters rushing into buildings when everybody. I don't know.
No,
maybe they're a little bit more heroic than a fake guy in a fake movie.
I'm saying you're right. That's why
I know
you said
I'm
it.
Right. Right. Of course I'm right. Of course I said
But the sentiment of being a hero is not about these powers. It's not about even understanding what's going on around you. It's just doing what you're supposed to do.
Right. I heard a guy say, and I wish I could remember the movie, that there's really not a lot of difference between heroes and cowards.
Yeah.
That, honestly, they're all feeling the same thing inside.
Yeah.
Everybody's scared.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's worried about what's going to happen. It's what the hero does that makes him a hero, what the coward doesn't do that makes him a coward.
Yeah, that's just an astute observation right there. Just excellent. I think I actually said that.
You may have. That sounds like something you would say.
So now you got me rethinking, because I think the whole Hawkeye, that made the movie, because the point of view in that movie is Hawkeye's point of view, that here is this regular guy,
right,
thrust in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, just the chaos.
And the only thing he's trying to, and in the midst of all of that, and being around all these people, all he has wanted to do is have a family.
Right.
And fix the dining room for his wife.
Yeah.
And it gave it a humanity. Another great scene in that movie with Hawkeye is when Quicksilver comes and does something, and Hawkeye,
that was good. I could do it, and nobody'd ever know.
You know what?
What?
I would put it in a time capsule. Like, the more I think about it, it was. I love that movie. I just loved it.
I really, really enjoyed it myself. I don't think it was as good as the first one,
no.
But what is?
Right.
Let's be honest. In the superhero movie realm, what is better than the Avengers?
Right.
Honestly. And I know that The Dark Knight is the better film, obviously, of the two to me. But as a full-on sci-fi superhero Incredible Hulk movie, there's none better than the Avengers.
Yeah. And, I mean, to me, after Star Wars A New Hope...
It's all downhill from there, wasn't it?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, at that point, you don't even know who Darth Vader is, but you've blown up the Death Star, and it's like anything after this is just cherry on top.
Yeah.
That's why. And I wanted to save this for later in the conversation, but I have to get this off my chest so I can speak clearly the rest of the time. I hear people complain about, and maybe I've said this on another episode, and I don't care. I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. People just complain about everything. Boy, that Phantom Menace. Boy, that Jar Jar Binks.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed that in this world. And people just complain about stuff, and they're like, and I had a guy tell me, yeah, you know, I don't know about Age of Ultron. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know about Age of Ultron? You don't ever have to see it again. You know, nobody forced you to see it the first time. Right. Nobody's going to force you to see it again. Why spend, if the movie's 2.5 hours, you don't have to spend 2.5 hours telling me why you didn't like it.
Right.
I liked it. You're not going to change my mind. I like what I like, and I'm not going to tell you you're a moron for not liking it. I'm telling you, you're a moron for taking the time of your life to be negative. Life is too short to be negative about everything. Give you an example. I'm trying to grow as a person. I'm trying to be a better
human. You're growing as a person, let me tell you.
I have gained 25 pounds in a year since all this crud has happened. You said you lost 20 pounds. I found
you
it.
You found it.
Last night I saw the trailer for the Supergirl TV show that's going to be in the fall. And I'm watching it, and there's some things about it I appreciate. There's some things about that I like that I found comedic. But there was a lot wrong with that trailer. Huh. And I could have spent a lot. And I got ready to post to Facebook on the, I guess it was Newsrama that had posted it on Facebook. And I was just going to kind of just say my opinion on it about what was wrong with it. And I stopped myself and I said, you know what? Somebody may like that show. I just watched the trailer. And from the trailer, I may or may not watch the show. From the trailer, I would probably say to my two teenage or preteen daughters, like, hey, this might be a good show for you to check out. I mean, it seems like a pretty cool, empowering women. But I said, I'm not going to take the time or the energy to just bash it.
Right.
If I don't like it, that's fine. Like, the world's not entitled to hear my opinion. Like, my opinion is not
maybe
God's
you're not
gift to the world.
You're not entitled to share your
that's
opinion
what I meant to
world.
Say. Yes, yes, yes. So I think in the world we live in, because there is a platform to share your opinion with a multitude of people in a multitude of ways, we all just are so quick to share our opinions without hitting the pause button saying, okay, it's all right for me to have this opinion. Nobody's saying you can't have your opinion. Nobody's saying you can't exercise your free speech. But really, save your time, save your breath. Talk about something good.
Me and a friend of mine, Noah, at work, so shout out to Noah if he's listening, we're talking about this the other day, and we come up with the term chasing likes.
Yes.
You know, that's what people do now. They live their life so they can post about it on Facebook and chase likes.
Yeah.
Because it all started, there was a guy in Georgia, somebody got out of their car and left their dog in the car. It's not it's not that hot right now.
Right.
Okay. And it's a dog. And I love dogs. I'm looking for a dog right now. Would I leave a dog in my car to run into a convenience store to get a drink? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
But I'd leave my windows down.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it if I'm not talking about when it's 120 degrees.
Right.
That's
right.
Not what I'm talking about. We're talking about whatever.
Yeah.
A normal spring day, you can run into a store record. I'm sorry. You just can. Yeah. People have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Well, the law says if there's a child in distress in somebody's car, you can break a window out.
Yeah.
But you cannot do that over a dog. No. I'm sorry. Whether you agree with that, whether you're sympathetic to animals, whatever, you cannot bust somebody's window out in their car because they left their dog in there. You don't have the right to do
that. No, you're exactly right.
The police can show up.
Yeah.
They can make a determination that the dog's going to die, whatever, and they may do it. But me and you just walking through a parking lot and seeing a dog does not give us a right to bust somebody's window out of their car.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
No, you're
right. So a guy did. He bust the window out. Basically, so he can go home and say he's a hero on Facebook. I know what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I get to go home, make a Facebook. I'm going to share. I'm going to get all kind of heat and hate over what I'm talking about.
No, you're fine.
That's fine.
Is this a local story?
This happened in Georgia, and he was a veteran. For some reason, that's part of the story.
Oh,
local veteran, you know, bust out this window in the car. And then the woman said, I want to press charges against him for breaking my window. He didn't have a right to do that.
Right.
She's pressing charges and they're following through with it. He's going to pay to get her car. And there's people on both sides. Oh, but he was doing it to save this poor little doggy.
Right.
No, he was doing it so he could post on Facebook about how he was a hero and everybody would tell him, I'm sorry, that's my opinion.
Right.
I don't know why he was really doing it. Okay.
Right.
My opinion is that's probably what was going on.
Right.
I just think you don't have a right to go tearing other people's stuff up because you don't agree with how they're raising their dog.
Right. Also, you do not have the right to tear up people's planet just because you're trying to terraform it to the environment of your planet that was destroyed due to overpopulation. General Zod had no right to do that.
Absolutely. I don't know how we got to talk about that, but it's chasing likes, like you were talking about.
So I want to
read social media.
I want to read this. This is in their Facebook group. We Love Pro Wrestling, and the original post is short enough. I'm gonna.
By the way, I love the opinions and thoughts of many of the Facebook fans who are a part of wrestling groups.
Well, the one I think you are gonna like. You're gonna like this guy, and then I sent him. Okay. So here's the original post. The Young Bucks are the Nickelbacks of pro wrestling. Huh. Everyone understands how bad they are, except their fans. And there's, hundreds of comments. And then I'm going to give this guy a shout out. Fabio Xavier, who I sent a friend request to and found out we have the same birthday. He's younger than me. This is what he said. I'm yet to see them put on a bad match or a match where the crowd doesn't go nuts with the moves and show they're putting on. I'm sure this is either simple hate or just another one of those posts to get people to talk for absolutely no reason. I like that guy.
I actually like that too. So,
the
Young Bucks are smart enough to know their crowds. If you watch them in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, they did a spot in a match recently where they did the Eddie Guerrero dance.
Oh.
And they did it for several minutes.
Yeah.
And just kept doing it, and their opponent was like standing behind them, and it was to just create this moment where this guy is so oblivious to the match that's going on around him just because he wants to get a cheap pop for doing something that another wrestler made famous. That was the story that they were telling, and of course then they get attacked doing it.
Yeah.
But they don't do that in New Japan.
No.
There are things that happen in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla that would never happen in New Japan.
Yeah.
They're smart enough to get the crowds that they're working in front of and how to, I don't know.
Yeah. Back to Marvel Phase 1. And just as soon as you catch your breath for Marvel Phase 1, Phase 2 starts. Ant-Man is just a month or two away.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for Ant-Man?
The trailer looks like it's got some funny moments, and I'm sure I'll see it. If my nephew's over at the house and he wants to go see it, I'll take him. But I don't think I'm going to go make the extra effort to see it in the movie theater.
Right.
I'm sure if I rent it on a Saturday night and then crack open my Mountain Dew and a box of Star Crunches, that's an old school shout out to the people that have been listening to us.
That's exactly right. Been a long time since we had some Star Crunches.
If you ain't been listening from the beginning, you ain't going to get that. But our long time listeners will get it. I would love it, but I think if I paid a bunch of money to go see it in the theater in 3D, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I've heard some people say, well, the story is this and the story is that, and that's not how it was in the comic book. And my life's too short. Listen, I want you to think this, when you get ready
to have my wrestling to be logical. But with comic book movies, I'm not that guy that worries about that kind of stuff too much.
Right. To the point, well, such and such wasn't true to the comic book. Such and such wasn't true to canon. Such and such, like, well, don't watch it.
Even like that goes back to the Sting Triple H match at WrestleMania. Yeah. None of that was logical, but I still enjoyed it.
It was awesome.
I didn't let it ruin my enjoyment of the evening.
A 56 year old man with a new hip, Scott Hall, took a backdrop on the floor.
With a pacemaker. Yeah.
Jimmy Crack Corn.
Yes. He should not have done it. Yes, he's got a pacemaker.
And probably not a whole liver.
Well, I'm sure what's there is in a wheelchair. Scott Hall's liver's in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank. It's got an IV plugged into it. His liver has seen his better days. It's like, it's got a service dog. It's got a pair of Ray Charles glasses on.
If you took his liver out and you said, all right, come here, boy. Yeah. Even that dog got stuck in that car with the window broke, wouldn't eat that liver.
That's right.
So as you looking back on Marvel Phase 1, Iron Man 1.
Laughing at a man's alcoholism. That's what we do.
Listen, if you can't laugh at the bad choices people make, and they admit to, and they, to his credit.
Yeah, man.
Corrects.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. If he heard that, I think he'd get a kick out of it.
I would hope so.
I hope so. Because I think he's good. I certainly don't mean it disrespectfully.
No.
He seems to have a good sense of humor. I think he'd enjoy what I just said.
I'm not going to tweet it to him or anything.
Well, if you want to tweet it to him, I don't care.
I'm sure it'll show up on double dot drop quick. Double drop kick quotes.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
I enjoyed Iron Man 1. I thought that was, I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy Iron Man 1?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I really liked Iron Man 1, yeah.
What about Iron Man 2?
It was okay. I thought it was, didn't it happen during the writer's strike?
I don't
remember. Wasn't that, I don't remember either, but there were some things I remember, like, I haven't seen it. I watched it once, so that'll tell you, I guess, how I felt about it. It was okay, but it wasn't great.
Can I say?
And Iron Man 3, I hated.
I didn't hate it, but I only watched it once.
I hated it because, number one, he was never in any real danger because he wasn't in the suit.
Mm.
And that removes that human element from it. Mm. He was a remote-controlled Iron Man suit. Number two, if I have access to an Iron Man army, maybe I use them about the time that I announced to everybody come attack me in my house instead of saving them to the end.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. That was if you have that, why would you not use it when your home is being destroyed?
A lot of people like to compare Tony Stark to Bruce Wayne. That's the difference. Tony Stark has an army, won't use them. Batman cheats to win.
Yeah, Batman will hit you in the nuts.
He will.
You know, he'll kick you in the balls. He don't care. If that's what it takes to win, yeah.
He will kick you in the nuts and then say, oh, that hurt, didn't it?
that's right. And then number three that I didn't like was that Pepper Potts should not have been the hero of the film. She should not have saved the day. Iron Man should have.
For some reason, I've never really thought Gwyneth Paltrow was just like really, really hot. But there's something about those Iron Man movies where it's like, I'd give her a second look.
Yeah, I agree. There's something about the way they dress her up. I don't know what it is.
Don't know what it is. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't either. But you're right. You're right. And she's so pompous.
In real life, yeah.
And I just can't. I can't tolerate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched
allegedly.
I watched Shakespeare in Love, and like
I wouldn't watch Shakespeare in Love if they said this is it. You're dying what? Right now in 2 hours. And this is the only movie left that you're ever going to get to watch. I'd say, well, can we just speed this thing up? Because
I was going through a kick. I was trying to watch like all these Oscar winners, and
then you realize how much they suck.
Well, yeah, and that like so. Dame Judi Dench, is that her name?
I couldn't tell you. Who's that?
She was the lady on James Bond.
Judi Dench.
What did I
not
say?
Wench. Wench is a
servant. She's a pirate's girlfriend. What did you, Judy, what's her name?
Judi Dench.
She won Best Supporting Actress that year for like a 3-minute scene where she played the queen. Ridiculous. I don't know how we got off on that.
We started talking from Avengers to Shakespeare.
So let's talk about Iron Man 2. I thought that was the case of, and this happens in way too many comic book movies, and maybe movies in general, but especially, what's the word? Series. Movie series. You have somebody that gets hot, and you plug them in.
Right, like Mickey Rourke. Yeah.
Mickey Rourke ought not to be playing a Russian.
I like Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke ought not to be playing a Russian.
Ought not to be. I like you. I like the way you talk.
You can't find a Russian to play a Russian?
Yeah, like Viggo Mortensen plays a good Russian. Ooh, did you ever see, was it Eastern Promises?
Heard about it.
Oh, it was a great movie, man. Great movie. He played a real good part in that.
What's that movie where him and Ed...
History of Violence?
Yeah.
I love that movie, man.
I've seen parts of it. That's one on my...
Really? You need to watch that. That's a real good movie, man. Yeah. It's the same guy directed both of those.
Huh.
Can't even remember his name now. If I wasn't talking about it, I could tell you.
Vito Mortensen's on a beach somewhere.
R. Morgensen.
Huh?
R. Morgensen. Viggo Mortensen. That's it, right?
What I said.
Yeah,
for
you're
once.
Right. I thought you said Viggo Mortensen.
Morton's son.
Oh, okay.
He's on a beach somewhere spending his Lord of the Rings money.
Yeah, yeah. And he wasn't even supposed to play that part originally.
Who was it? That's a
somebody
good,
else was.
Was it Nicolas Cage? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think it was Nicolas Cage, but it was somebody else. And like,
yeah,
showed
it was
up
like just, last minute.
Yeah, it was just a let's plug him in because it's not working out with this
and
guy.
That guy was perfect.
Oh, yeah, he was great. A Strider, yeah. Whoever his name, Aragon. I'm not a nerd, so I don't know.
Don't sell yourself short.
Listen, I'm a nerd. I'm a wrestling nerd. I'm not a Lord of the Rings nerd.
No, there's
a difference.
There is.
Though
those circles do tend to fade together an awful lot. Yeah.
I didn't even watch the last couple of Lord of the Rings movies because I watched
The Hobbit. You mean
The Hobbit. I watched The Lord of the Rings, and then I took my nephew to see The Hobbit, and he said, "What do you think?" And I was like, "That is the most beautiful film about walking that I've ever seen in my life." I mean, good Lord. If you thought they walked a lot in the Lord of the Rings movies, The Hobbit was nothing but a 3-hour special effects laden walk.
How much did they spend on helicopter fuel filming those scenes?
Lord, man, it was ridiculous. I was like, and then every time I thought something was fixing to happen, I'd be like, here we go. And they'd like, stop and talk about walking. Man, I was like,
second one. I haven't seen the third one yet.
I haven't seen the second or the third.
The second one, the name of your movie is The Desolation of Smog. And to me, Smog played the role of Rhino in that movie, in that you see him in full force the last 3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Captain America, first Captain America, what did you think of that?
Oh, I really, really liked it. I liked Winter Soldier better. I don't know you like mad because I'm jumping around.
No, no, no.
I
that's
really
good.
Liked the first Captain America, yeah. But I loved the Winter Soldier.
Many people that I talk to who are just, they're not comic book people. They're just like going to movies, and they say that Winter Soldier's their favorite movie from
it may be
from
mine,
Phase One.
Because if you take him out of that red, white, and blue suit and put him in a salt and pepper, or, you know, as Barney Fife would say, yeah. Or just a, you know, a black suit with a white shirt and a tie, yeah. That's any great espionage spy movie that you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was a great movie. That scene when he gets on that elevator and all those guys pile in around him and he goes, all right, before we get started, does anybody want to get off? I saw, and he's finna tell you, you know, like he knew he was going to win that fight.
Yeah.
There was no doubt in his mind.
When they, I can admit when I'm wrong half of the time. When they,
I'll admit the other half of the time for you.
When they cast Chris Evans as Steve Rogers, I didn't get it. I didn't see it.
Right.
Because I only could picture him from Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
No two different characters than Johnny Storm and Steve Rogers.
True.
Chris Evans.
Maybe Hitler and Jesus, but I get what you're saying.
Two fictional characters.
Okay, I got you.
I know somebody, well, Jesus is a fictional character. Okay. You can tell him that to his face one day. But Chris Evans has been a great Captain America.
Yeah.
Because there's this... I didn't think he could bulk up like that.
He's huge, man.
When he pops out in Captain America 1, that it's like, I don't even think that's – are they still doing the CGI of his head on somebody else's body?
Yeah, I was like, man, what's going on here? I thought, you know, the little guy was the CGI. That's
Yeah. That's weird. I agree. Winter Soldier was great.
He was weird looking with that big old head on that little bit of body. It's funny, like a Pez dispenser walking around.
What about the first Thor?
I liked it.
I did.
I liked it. Did not care much for the Dark Continent or Dark World.
Dark
or whatever
World.
I didn't care for it, but I liked the first Thor.
I felt like, and this is the fine line you're having to walk if you're Marvel, in that. You've started, you know, very anchored in Earth.
Uh-huh.
And now you're trying to introduce this totally mystical, totally outside of the realm of Earth stuff, and then blend it all together. And it's not easy to do. And to be totally honest, I felt like Thor the Dark World, they were like, all right, we got these Infinity Stones. How are we going to introduce them? Well, and I felt like that whole movie wasn't about Thor. It was just, we got to introduce this thing.
Right, we have to introduce this MacGuffin into the...
So, this is the best. This right. is how we're going to do it.
Right.
I didn't feel that way with Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, I didn't either.
Guardians of the Galaxy was essentially the same thing. The whole movie, they're introducing this...
Tesseract or whatever.
Yeah, the Infinity... And I thought, man, Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought it was great.
Oh, I loved
watched
it yeah,
multiple times.
I watched
times.
It at a drive-in the first time.
Really?
That was cool, yeah.
I thought that the...
I read, that just to, before we get on that, I read an article, and I wish I could remember all the movies, but that in the timeline of Marvel Phase 1, Thor, Iron Man, the first ones, Thor, Iron Man, and I think the Incredible Hulk, in the canon of those films, all take place in the same week.
Yeah, so there was an article that had a timeline.
Yeah, and that was where
I need to
it actually lists like all this happens here, and it was like I think those three movies all took place concurrently, even though you saw them at different times.
Yeah.
In their universe, they exist in the same week.
Yeah, it would be really cool to go back and watch those in order. And now, and even on that timeline, they had the Agent Carter, they had the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Which I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't get too far off. I watched season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they did a good job of tying that in with Winter Soldier. I have not watched season. I have recorded all the episodes, but I have not watched it.
I was like, they do like, don't they do like a Gotham PD comic
that's on
book?
That's on Monday nights.
No. I'm talking about the comic books.
They used to. They don't anymore.
Like, I'm not into the supporting players. It's like we talked the other week about who are your favorite jobbers. I like the Road Warriors, man.
Yeah.
I'm just, I watched like two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it just, I was like, man, where's Thor and Iron Man and Hulk? And why do I care about these guys?
You're giving me this.
Just talking about these guys.
Right.
And I don't
like, we're not, listen, we like superhero stuff because of the superheroes.
Yeah.
So don't just throw a show about the humans.
Yeah. Robin Sparkles is not doing it for me, man.
Robin Sparkles.
You never watched How I Met Your Mother?
No. Nah.
The Colby Smulders or whatever that plays the girl in the Avengers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was on How I Met Your Mother, and she but it was revealed at some point that she had been a teen heartthrob, like a Tiffany or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She had done that in the 80s or whatever in Canada. So she wasn't known here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But in Canada, she was like one of those, you know, her name was Robin Sparkles. And so somehow they found out about it, and then everybody started making fun of her.
That's funny. That's funny.
Anyway.
So Incredible Hulk, that was considered phase one. A whole lot better than
the Ang Lee Hulk.
Yeah. Golly, that movie.
Yeah, I liked it. I really enjoyed it, which I'm a Hulk fan. Yeah. He's one of my favorites. I love the TV show with Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bigsby. I used to watch it with my granddad.
Do you think there was a big controversy when Incredible Hulk came out that Ed Norton wasn't doing any promotional work for it? Because I guess there had been some...
He's notoriously hard to work with, like anybody that's ever worked with him. They have issues.
Did that add... That almost added something to it. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but to me, it almost
was really pushing for the suicide angle. If you've never seen it, there's a in the Hulk comics, he can't even commit suicide.
Oh yeah, like there's
because as the bullet gets close enough to his brain, the Hulk takes over and rejects it. And they actually, if I've got the DVD, they filmed that scene where he went off into the mountains and shot himself, and the Hulk took over and said, "Nope."
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Have you ever read, it's just a one-shot graphic novel, just called The Hulk, The End.
Yeah, I've read it.
That's a really good one. Mm-hmm. Talking and it
Puny Banner. He won't even turn back into Banner anymore because he's so weak.
Yeah.
Have you ever read Old Man Logan?
I think I read part of it.
It's great.
I might have all of it.
It's great. It's about like Logan gives up fighting.
Yeah.
Because there's the day when the villains take over.
Yeah.
And how they destroyed the X-Men. And they tease, why won't he fight anymore?
Yeah.
Why won't he fight anymore? And come to find out, I think it was Mysterio clouded his mind and made him think that Xavier's mansion was under attack when it was actually, he was just killing the X-Men. And then he removed a cloak from him, and he looks around, and there's all these dead bodies of all the X-Men laid around. And the U.S. is now divided up, like Magneto owns a section, and Kingpin owns a section, and Hulk is a villain, and him and his family.
Yeah.
And they're all like these genetically jacked up Scott Steiner looking, you know.
What are you saying about Scott Steiner?
Nothing. No, sir. Nothing. Oh, I'm a huge Scott Steiner fan.
Yes, sir. Because
he's going to be at FanFest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm a huge fan. I look forward to talking to him. But anyway, so the finish is that Hulk and like Wolverine, of course, gets back into it. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, never mind. I got to fight. You know, this guy, they kill his family. And so he decides to fight again, and he allows the Hulk to eat him. Because of his healing factor. And they have this huge brawl, and the Hulk eats him. And then he's sitting there, and he goes, whew, something ain't agreeing. You know, something's not agreeing with Hulk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Apparently Wolverine, he's healed in his stomach.
Yeah.
And then that's the final scene, is Wolverine just eviscerating him from the inside. He that had been his plan all along, because he knew he couldn't just beat him in a straight up fight. So he just eviscerated.
He Trojan him. Horses him.
Yeah, he Trojan horsed him, man, and got inside of him and tore his guts up and killed him.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth reading. It's a good story. Hawkeye is in it. He's the guy that kind of brings Logan back into everything. It's good.
When they just did the Death of Wolverine, I didn't really like it.
I haven't read it yet. You can talk about it. I mean, I'm spoiling stuff. So if you want to spoil it, go ahead, because it's going
to
be a while before
he gets
it.
To a point where he has lost his he's lost his healing factor.
Uh-huh.
And, man, now I'm trying to remember.
Didn't he just, like, sit down on the steps and die? I mean, it wasn't like he went out in a violent. That's
right.
What I read.
Right. So he's lost his healing factor, but they've got all these new people that they're trying to inject adamantium in. And, you know, trying to create this fighting force. So Logan gets there. Kills the doctor that's trying to do it. And then the final thing is he basically gets bathed in adamantium and becomes like a statue on the roof of this building.
Really?
That the adamantium hardens. He can't get out of it and he can't breathe, I guess.
Huh.
And so, yeah, he's just kind of there at the end. And it was. In some ways, it was a downer because it wasn't what I expected. But on the other hand, kudos because it wasn't what I expected. Right. You know, it's like, oh, Logan's going to go out like this. No, he doesn't. And so, and the first couple of issues were really good because there's a price on his head, but not to kill him. Like there's somebody trying to pay money. To let him live. I mean, I can't remember. But the first couple of issues were really good, and I felt that last issue was kind of a letdown. Totally opposite of Dark Knight Returns in 86.
Yeah.
You got to that last issue, and it's like, that might be the best thing I've ever read.
Yeah, that's true. I tell you one of my favorite Wolverine stories, and it's a single shot, one issue. And I don't know what issue it was, but I remember reading it a few years back. Standalone story. He's just kind of monologuing, and he shows up at this bar. Have you read that one?
Maybe. Do finish telling me, because I went through a Wolverine phase a couple years ago.
He was like, nothing major really happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, he shows up at this bar, and he's like, hey, a friend of mine sent me to take care of something. And they were like, well, what do you do? And he's like, I'm just the best in the world at what I do, but I'm afraid that on this day, you're not going to like what I do very much. And he just destroys this bar, opens the door, goes down, and somebody had kidnapped a friend of his daughter.
Oh.
And that was the story.
Yeah.
He went, he killed all these guys in the bar, he got the girl out of the basement, and it was a friend of his that he had known from somewhere, and they got in touch with him, and like, somebody's got my daughter. They were holding her for ransom. Wolverine went and got her. Simple story.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Wolverine stories of all time.
Yeah. They started doing, you know, they came out with Wolverine Origin, which I think was a six-issue series.
I read it.
And I thought it was good.
It was okay.
I don't know if it was, you know, Wolverine may have been better when we didn't know anything about him, and now we know a little bit.
We know too much.
So they started a monthly.
I thought that was what made him good, that you didn't know about his past.
Yeah.
That he didn't know. That's what I liked about Wolverine.
Anyway,
go ahead.
They did. So they did a monthly Wolverine Origins.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of good. And it just got convoluted. But
yeah,
they showed a lot of his past, like encounters he had with Black Panther and Captain America. But I was buying, man, all the Wolverine. And, you know, him and Sabretooth had their fight to the end. And that was very disappointing, that issue.
Really?
I was like, I just didn't.
There's a good one he did, him and Punisher fought.
Mm.
And Punisher run him over with a steamroller. Because he knew he couldn't beat him. He knew it was going to kill him. So he somehow, they brawled down into this basement. And he finds this steamroller, and he got him whatever, and he like lights him on fire and then rolls over him with a steamroller. And he says, I know that he's going to be alive and he's going to come looking for me, but at least I can get away from him. And then the final scene is like him with all of it's just his skull laid there and a smear of blood and him like, ah, this is gonna take a while.
I think Hugh Jackman's been a good Wolverine.
Yeah, he's not going to do it anymore.
I mean, he's going to do Wolverine 3, and then I've heard he's in X-Men Apocalypse as well.
That's what I heard, was that X-Men Apocalypse was the last, because I guess Wolverine 3, whichever one of them comes out last is his last one. He's going to do those two. I hate that, man, because he's been good.
He, again, was one of those people when they cast him like, that's not Wolverine.
That's why I give everybody a chance, man. Because when I saw his stills of his pictures and the same with Heath Ledger, it's just been that way all the time. And sometimes they are miscast.
Yes.
And sometimes you cast somebody and you think it's going to be perfect. When they cast Michael Chiklis as the Thing, I thought, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't that great, man.
No, it was not. I mean, you're going to cast Jessica Alba as the Invisible Woman.
Yeah, kind of the point of Jessica Alba is I like to see her.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of want to.
What do you think about the new Fantastic Four that's coming out?
It looks good. It comes out on my birthday, so I'm probably going to go see it. But, yeah, I'm going to check it out. If it's a comic book movie, I'm watching it at some point.
I agree.
I reserve my judgment. They made the Human Torch black, so what? So, how dare Marvel in 2015 try to appeal to more than one group of people? You know what I mean? Who cares?
Right. They made Nick Fury black.
Yeah. Nobody thought anything about that. Who cares?
If you don't like it, if that makes you angry, if you're going to nitpick, do it on your own time. Don't give them your money.
No. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you're upset that they made the Human Torch black, then feel free to shoot yourself and get yourself off of our planet, because the rest of us are trying to have a society here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There are more important things.
We don't need your racism in 2015. That's just my opinion. That's the way I feel, man. Please remove yourself from the human race if that's the way you feel at this point.
Now, I do Good think... Lord. Now, so... I'm glad you said that, because in the Supergirl trailer last night, they introduce Jimmy Olsen, who's black.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the commentary on there, I would love your opinion on this. They're not introducing – I don't know really what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be PC, but also, I don't know. I think what you're saying is, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you're nervous about talking about that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm not. I don't care.
Right. I do think that when it is a slap in the face, it goes kind of with the New Day and R-Truth. It's like, don't give us a caricature of stereotypes. You don't have to do that.
We should be past that point.
Right. And so I also feel that if you've got an amazing actor who can fill the role of Jimmy Olsen and that fits into the story you're trying to tell, then yes, go ahead and do that. But if you're like, oh man, this isn't as diverse as we need it to be, and we're just going to bring in this one person to give us our diversity score.
I don't care. I mean, I don't have.
I don't know what
it's. I don't have a problem with it. I don't care, man. If the guy can play the part, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm there with you. So let's talk. I want to talk about some of these.
Let's keep talking about this. It's clearly making you uncomfortable.
I want to talk about.
It doesn't bother me because
I want to talk about some of the DC television shows, and so. I'd like, start out, we talked about Supergirl, and people are up in arms. Some love it, some hate it. Let me just say this. Some are like, well, it's not true to the comic. Let me just say this. Have you ever watched Batman 1966?
Yes, I have.
Listen. They ain't putting that on TV. No. I love it. I loved it for what it was.
For what it was, yeah. It's got its...
So don't give me your crap about...
Well, the Gotham is not true to the
No. Yeah. No, you keep
it. And it's not. Timeline-wise, it's not. But
oh, Arrow is not true. No. Don't give me all that. I'm excited. I got into Arrow late. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched the season finale yet. By the time you're listening to this, I probably have. I think it's a pretty good show. My only complaint about Arrow, it's such a long season. It's like 23 episodes.
So it's one more episode than any other.
But that's what I'm saying. Network show. I would say that about any, especially when I was binge watching.
You like the 12, 16 episodes.
When I was binge watching seasons 1 and 2, it just got. And they make it all connected. It's not like these are one-shot episodes that you can. I mean, it's all connected, and you can't miss any of them.
Right.
But I am a fan of the shorter season. But I like what they're doing with Arrow. They're doing a spinoff of Arrow called Legends of Tomorrow, which will feature former Superman Brandon Routh as the Atom. A lot of people up in arms that the Atom doesn't shrink. Do you want to know why the Atom doesn't shrink?
Tell me.
Number one.
He didn't get in the pool.
That's another episode. I was in the pool. Don't you like this shirt? It's a little tight. Sometimes things shrink when they get cold and wet. I don't even know what we're talking
Something
about.
Something about why the Atom didn't shrink.
He didn't shrink because it cost a lot of money for a TV show, so budget. And then Ant-Man's coming out.
Yeah.
So if they make their guy shrink, so I'm saying, you know, we'll do another character, but I like what they've done. So Legends of Tomorrow is going to be like the Atom and some other people. Hawk Girl. Somebody said Hawk Girl. So that'll be cool, but it'll be tied into the same universe.
It'll be another show for me to not watch.
Right. I didn't watch, I haven't watched The Flash. You know, there's been a couple of episodes.
I watched the very last part of the last episode when Gorilla Grodd showed up, just because I was curious to see how they did.
Was it good enough to where you might give The Flash a chance next
probably
year?
Probably not. Like, I still haven't watched Daredevil. It's not that I don't want to watch these shows. I got things going on, man.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I don't have time to devote to watching all these shows in one sitting. I just am not.
Right.
I've thought about Daredevil. What I want to do is like just pick on Mondays, I'm just going to watch Daredevil at 9 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll do that for the next 2 months because I don't have the.
You don't want to binge watch.
First of all, I'm not going to say that because I'm not big into using like pop culture terminology and stuff. That's just not who I am.
You walk to your own drummer.
I try to. Once a word gets in the vernacular like that, I start hating it immediately. That's because that's just the way I am.
Right.
So I try not to say. I don't like using that's hashtags.
That's not a gimmick.
No. I don't like hashtags. I don't like anything.
I just don't
like anything. But I'm not negative. I mean, that's
you
the thing.
Don't make people miserable with your not liking everything.
No, I just
don't try to convince everybody else not to like everything.
I don't care if you want to. I love Michael Hofer, but boy, he uses the hashtag.
hashtag.
Like they ain't gonna make no more hashtags in 2 or 3 days. but I don't. I'm not a fan of them. I never have been. I just I don't know what it is. I'll use one occasionally to promote our show.
Right.
I'm not above using them.
Yeah, as a marketing.
As a marketing thing. I mean, if on Monday nights, I usually if I say something about Raw. I can typically get a couple of followers out of that by using hashtags. So clearly I'll use them. But just like that, binge watching, it's just not on my radar of things that I'm going to do.
Well, let me just tell you, Daredevil, again, depends on who you talk to. I liked it. I didn't know a lot about Daredevil going in, but I really liked it, really enjoyed it. I watched it over, a couple of day period where, I just late at night from like 10 to 1 would watch, when everybody's in bed, that's what I was watching. And
I should do more of that, like in the evenings, because I spend more time trying to find something to watch.
Oh, no.
Than I do watching
stuff. I have cut out the surfing.
Yeah.
I cannot. Last night I got home from church. And I watched Survivor.
Right.
I don't remember the last time I watched something on my television.
Right.
I don't. Even the stuff I DVR, I watch it on my iPad while I'm in bed, which you're not supposed to do technically because it messes up your brain. But listen, I figure, what have I got to lose?
All the substances, both FDA approved and not, that I have cycled through my body.
Including, but not limited to, Baja Blast.
See, that's the difference between you and me. When we start talking about the things that we've ingested, you're talking about Mountain Dew. I'm talking about LSD. I'm just kidding, man. I am just kidding about that. But I am. But all the damage that I've done to my body over the years, I can assure you, watching TV on my iPad when I lay down at night ain't gonna add or take away from nothing.
Yeah. So all right. So Marvel Phase, we started out talking about Marvel Phase One. Listen, if you are a nerd and you like superheroes, we were complaining about this to each other. Not complaining, but there's this feeling inside. I'm 40 years old, and I feel like, man, this stuff's just getting going.
I know it, man.
I love my kids, but I'm glad I've got Drake. Drake's 8 years old. I'm like, oh, yeah. Drake, don't you want to see this movie, Drake?
Yeah.
On opening night? Don't you want to go?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be fun to see this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, great. Let's go.
Drake wants to go.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Listen.
You're a nerd, and all your kids are nerds.
in a world where there is so much, there's so much bad news. Listen, everybody, we all go through stuff. We all got weeks where the income don't match the outcome. So, man, thankfully, we've got these things that just for a few hours or an hour on Monday night can just help us forget about all that. And so after I've spent an hour or 2 hours at the movies forgetting about all that, why would I want to take 2 hours remembering everything I didn't like about what I just watched in the 2 hours?
Yeah, I just go get a hamburger and forget about it.
That seems like a pretty good life philosophy.
Oh, you're so much happier.
Yes.
Listen, if I got mad every time I watched a bad movie.
Oh, goodness.
Lord have mercy. A lot of times me and my wife, we go see a movie, and if it's bad, we get in the truck, and we both go, well, that was dumb.
Yeah.
I can't believe we wasted our money on that crap. Where you want to go eat?
That's exactly right. You move on.
Yeah.
Life's about moving on. Letting go. I mean, I think there was a song called Let It Go.
Really?
And actually, that song was not even about letting go. That song was about, hey, I'm nuts, and I don't care who knows it. That's what that song's about from really? Frozen. Yeah.
Who's that?
That chick's crazy. Frozen. I got three kids, and sometimes there's movies they want to see.
But who is Frozen?
Frozen is the movie.
Oh.
You're being legitimately dumbfounded by what I'm saying over
there. Yeah, I don't.
Frozen, the Disney movie.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The girl, the sister in there, she's a mutant. She's got freezing powers. She's the female Iceman in this movie. And
sounds great.
It was fairly entertaining.
I'll take your word for it.
The funniest thing about Frozen, and it was also, so there's a clip where the sister goes up. And she goes up to the door and she's like, you know, sings a song, do you want to build a snowman? And then sings a song, and the sister doesn't want to build a snowman. So at the end of the song, she's like, okay, bye. And it's so sad. Well, somebody made this meme where the little girl goes up to the door, do you want to build a snowman? And then it's Seth Rollins saying, no one wants to hear your stupid voice anymore. And then she's like, okay, bye. And my kids have watched that. And so the other day, we were just in the car messing around, and I said, do you want to build a snowman? And Drake says, no one wants. And Drake did the Seth Rollins. Totally un, whatever the word is, you know, unscripted. And it was awesome. So thank you, Disney, for giving me great. You know, you better get used, because she's probably going to show up in an Avengers movie.
She may be in the new Star Wars flick.
Oh, goodness gracious. What if the Guardians of the Galaxy showed up?
It could happen.
I don't think so, because that was in a galaxy far away and a long time ago. So if you were watching the Marvel timeline or the Disney timeline, you'd have to watch all the Star Wars movies first, because they were the first ones.
Yeah.
Don't know if you know that.
Indiana Jones could discover Captain America, because they're both owned by the same company now, right?
Oh, my.
And the weird thing is, like, I think Chris Pratt may play Indiana Jones, so he would be Star-Lord, too.
Well, once Chris Evans is done playing Captain America, they can always make him a different superhero. He'll probably go into a DC franchise after that.
Probably.
Hey, what was the DC?
I think Chris Pratt. Guy who played Star-Lord.
I'm talking about Chris Evans. Sorry.
I think he's going to play. So the Indiana rumor Jones. Is he's going to play Indiana Jones.
He'd be a great Indiana.
And he's in Jurassic Park. He's getting paid.
Let's talk about that movie, Jurassic World.
Yeah, that looks good, man.
I'm going to see that.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't like Jurassic Park 2. I didn't like Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park 3 was all right.
Yeah.
Not a lot of thought. Hey, we're going to give you an hour and a half of dinosaurs trying to kill people.
Right. Yeah, that's always good.
Oh, I can't believe that they did that. What did you think? This, I think, Jurassic World.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good, too.
I have, and I got to be careful on this. I think as we got closer to Ultron, I became more excited for Jurassic World than I was for Age of Ultron.
Really?
I don't know why.
I'm excited about both of them. I'm excited about Mad Max, but I've heard that it's he's, you know, henpecked Max, but we'll see.
See, I have no idea what do you mean? What did you just say?
Mad Max.
Okay, I know what movie you're talking about. Okay, well, but then you said henpecked.
I've heard that he's henpecked Max in the movie, where Charlize Theron is just telling him what to do, and he doesn't really say a whole lot. So he's not Mad Max anymore. He's henpecked Max.
I've not seen any of the Mad Max movies.
Oh, my Lord. How are we friends?
I don't know.
Well, that is one thing, like, where you are more probably or into comic books, I'm more into, like, 70s and 80s
right.
films, like Escape from New York and
right.
and that kind of. Have you seen Escape from New York? No, never seen not. It? Assault on Precinct 13.
No, I've seen
not the not okay, that one.
Then no,
the original one with the ice cream girl.
The ice cream girl.
Well, it's not what you think. Have you seen The Warriors?
No.
Really, you don't know where Booker T's "Can You Dig It" comes from? Then
I just
it
know
it comes from The Warriors. Come out and play. Yeah, but one of the main characters says, "Can you dig it?" And that's where Booker T got that from.
Didn't know that.
Man. Yeah, so that was like the Road Warriors and the Mad Maxes and Beyond Thunderdome. You never seen any of that stuff. Golly, man. I'm more into that than the comic books. I would rather, if given the choice, I would watch old 70s and 80s exploitation films and grindhouse movies and horror movies. And
I tried to watch the Mad Max movie with Tina Turner.
See, that's the wrong one to try to watch.
I was on TV, and I was just like,
I got the Road Warrior at home. I'll bring it to you.
So, tell me, what are the Mad Max movies that are out now?
Well, the one that's coming out is
Fury Road.
Fury Road, but you got the Road Warrior, then you got Mad Max, and then you got
Beyond Thunderdome. So the Road Warrior, that's Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Mel Gibson plays him in the first three.
The first three. So I didn't see Mel Gibson in Thunderdome.
Yeah, you did.
Well, this is the part that I watched. That man, I didn't see it.
Oh, well, you didn't watch the whole thing.
I probably didn't.
Yeah, I guarantee you didn't. If you didn't see Mel Gibson, you couldn't have watched it very long.
Yeah. So I need to go. I wonder if those are on Netflix or anywhere.
I don't know.
Wonder if I got a friend that has them on DVD.
I do have The Road Warrior. And I think I got Mad Max because I almost bought Mad Max yesterday. And I said, before I do, I better make sure that I don't have this.
So let me say the new Mad Max, I have no interest in seeing it.
Oh, man. I do.
Right. Yeah.
Because I really like those movies.
Yeah, and
you never seen the scene when he handcuffs the guy to the car. Nope. You don't know that.
Nah.
That's one of a very iconic where the guy has wronged him. He handcuffs him to a car, and he starts the gasoline dripping, and he says, "You know, that's probably going to go off here in about, I forget the time because I haven't seen it in a while. That's going to blow up in 30 minutes." And he throws him a hacksaw. And he says, "You cut through that chain on your arm in about 40 minutes, or you can cut through your wrist in 10.
See, that's from Watchmen, the original. No, it's
not from Watchmen. That's where they got it.
Watchmen copied that from Mad Max.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was not in Watchmen. That was
the comic book. It was
right, but I don't think that's
no, not in the movie. No.
No, I'm saying originally that's a Mad Max thing. I believe. I could be wrong.
No, I'm not. No.
I've checked the times on when Mad, because I think it was like 82, 83.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you probably, and I would let, that'd be a good thing to, because everybody thinks it's original with Saw now.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen any of those.
Really?
I hate horror movies.
First Saw was really good. After that, it got ridiculous.
They're like Saw 10.
The first one's really good.
Saw 10 or whatever.
How about Friday the 13th? Did you watch any of those? We went and saw one.
The right? Jason Goes to Hell,
yeah.
We saw together. And
Halloween. You like Halloween movies? I love those.
See, so the one where Jason gets struck by lightning and comes back to life.
Uh-huh.
I saw that one like 10 times.
Right, the part 6. That's
But I didn't see any of the other ones. Same right. thing with Halloween. I saw Halloween 2
yeah.
multiple times.
In the hospital?
Yeah. Where he gets shot in the eyes and catches on fire.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. But
that one was on TV a lot.
But I never saw any of the others.
Oh, man, the first one's great. The first one is incredible. I watch it every year, Halloween.
Really?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, have you seen it?
No.
God.
I don't like.
That's like the most intense,
maybe
realistic.
I've never told you this. The very first horror movie I ever saw in my life, my parents went out of town and my brother rented some movies, and it was The Exorcist and like Four Faces of Death.
Yeah, you told me about that.
And if the first horror movie you ever see is The Exorcist, if that's boom, it turns you off to him.
How old were you when you saw The Exorcist?
10? I mean, I wasn't a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean,
your parents went out of town and Frankie immediately went and just got a bunch of horror movies. That's funny.
And I was like, and we watched it like in my mom's basement,
legitimately,
with the lights off at night. And and after that night, to
he was
this
just
day,
trying to mess with you.
To this day, if the lights ain't on in that basement, I ain't going down there. And I don't care what you got to me to do.
The Exorcist is great, man. My mother, it freaked her out. Like she saw it.
It freaked her out. Yeah.
She saw it in the movie theater.
My mom
did
too.
And it still freaks her out, like to this day. Yeah. And every once in a while, like I have my nephew do this every now and then. Like I told him all about it. Like he would just walk into her house and go, "Maren," you know, just to mess with her. Oh, that scared you a little
it
bit.
It burns.
Yep. So I'll have him do that.
Me and Alan McAllister. I think we watched it together one time, and
we all huddled up under a blanket.
No. We tried to joke about it as much as possible. I think now there's another movie that came out with Timothy Dalton. Is that the guy that played James Bond?
Yeah, that's right.
And he's in the movie based on one of the true stories that The Exorcist is based on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not nearly the horror movie that The Exorcist is, but it is a freaky It is a freaky movie. I think what's the movie called? I want to say it's called The Fierce Love, but there's a movie, and it's legit. And I think this is why The Exorcist is so scary to me, is a lot of that stuff's real, and a lot of that stuff happens. And the maybe it's but it's a movie of these guys in like African countries dealing with demon possessed people.
Right.
And so it's
like,
is
it a documentary or is it a real like a movie?
It's not a movie. It's a documentary. Okay. Like it is.
And I'd like to see that.
It may be on YouTube. I know the trailer's on YouTube, but it's like what you see in The Exorcist, a lot of it. I mean, it is that for real.
Like you see it on screen, people floating and.
I mean, you see people showing like crazy strength.
This is not like the Benny Hinn.
No. I wouldn't. Listen, if I.
I know you know that you have discernment enough.
No. And.
That's cool. I saw The Exorcist in the movie theater.
Really?
A few years back, they re-released it for like the 30th anniversary or something. Yeah. I took my wife to see it.
I won't even say, I don't want Drake, my son, to ever see it. And so he'll ask me, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen? And I won't even say the name of the movie.
See, I have it on DVD at the house.
Right.
And my nephew like is always like, let's watch it. I'm like, oh, let's let, because it is it's different. There's something about that movie. I don't disagree with you. Even as an adult sitting in the movie theater,
see, my mom said
something more to that movie.
Yeah, my mom said watching in the theater, there were like people shrieking and passing out. Yeah. That there's this, and I think that you know part of that is, I mean, that
it taps into a real thing with us and our.
Right.
And our psyches, I guess you
could say. I didn't see Exorcist 2.
Oh, those suck. They're not now, scary at all, yeah.
But Exorcist 3, where they kind of tie back into the priest from Exorcist 1, Exorcist 3 is pretty scary too, man. It's pretty freaky. There's a couple of scenes it's just like, what in the world just happened? my least favorite scenes in any movie is where you're in the hospital, you know something's going to happen, and they're showing you the shot down the hallway, and the nurse walks from one room to the next, and then from one room to the next, and then she walks across the hall again, and then somebody jumps out after her.
Yeah.
And, just now thinking, I just peed.
There is, there's not a lot of feelings in the world that are freakier than walking around a hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I forgot you had that.
It's a freaky, especially like where I worked for a while, between jobs. They wind up taking a lot longer than I thought it would. But they had closed an old section down and opened a new section. Well, they kept all the stuff stored over in the old section. And I was on night shift, and occasionally I'd have to go over there by myself, man. And it is creepy, man. Hospitals are a creepy place at night, even during the day because of what goes on there. But, I mean, at night when the lights are out, and I walked into a hall one time where they had closed this section down.
Yeah.
And I walk onto the floor to go get some stuff. There's nobody over there, nobody in any of the rooms, and the call light started going off.
Jimmy crack corn.
Yes, sir. If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Creepiest thing. I mean, it's just creepy, man. When those call lights start going off when I was walking down the hall, I got what I had to get and got out of there, boy.
When Karis was in the hospital, you know, there were a lot of nights that I would wake up and we just want to get, you know, the Starbucks at the Greenville Hospital is 24 hours a day. And I would just need to just kind of walk around. And for a couple of the days she was in there, she was the only kid on the pediatric side we were on. Like, we were in a room, and then the four rooms on either side of us were empty. And once you got past the nurse's desk, which was right, it was, and like you, if you're at the hospital during the day and you walk down to the cafeteria, it's just bustling with activity.
Right.
You walk down there at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, hospitals are just like you. You wander the halls at 2 a.m. and there's not many people moving around.
Yeah.
And it's creepy, man. And there are people, I guarantee you, even at the one down the road, I know for a fact that live in those hospitals. Out of sight, moving around, homeless people constantly moving around in hospitals. Happens in airports, happens all over the place. Homeless people get in there and they blend in, they move around a lot, and they live there, man. They find a spot where there's nobody at, especially right. at a place like
O'Connor,
the one
yeah.
up the road here. Yeah. There's so much empty space that nobody knows, and they lay down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
They live in those places. I'm telling you, they do it. We've seen it. You see evidence of it.
Really?
Yes, sir. Find food wrappers and chairs pulled up into circles in places where there's nobody, there's no patients over there. It's, yeah.
That'll be the second documentary we make. First documentary will be me getting my yearbooks back. The second one, trying to discover the hidden lives in the hospital. So, all right. Well, we have covered a lot of topics didn't think we were going to talk about. I got one more thing written down that I do want to mention, uh-huh. and that is this. We talked about Thor.
Yeah.
Thor 1 and Thor 2. I like Thor 1. We neither one of them. I felt that one of the mistakes they made is that Jane Foster is the main heroine, but the other girl is much hotter.
Who, Kat Dennings? You think she's a lot better looking than...
I do. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, she's more ample.
Maybe that's
it. I think that's what it is. She's on the Two Broke Girls show.
But as I was watching the movie, I'm more attracted to her, like... Maybe Natalie Portman. Who was that?
Natalie Portman.
Maybe she was just mailing it in. I don't know.
I think there's that, and I think she's got that
girl.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
No, she's got that unattainable thing up going on, maybe. And the other girl, Kat Dennings, has got that sexy, you know.
She'll go out with you once.
Right. And you know.
Natalie Portman ain't giving you the time of day.
Right. And that's what I mean. Like, Kat Dennings may not go out with you, but at least she'll talk to you. And Natalie Portman, you ain't going to get close enough to talk to her. That's what it is.
What is where somebody dies and all these friends are coming back from high school and.
With Natalie Portman in it?
Yeah, Natalie Portman is this guy, Timothy Hutton.
Yeah,
he's like her name. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was Matt Dillon? It was the dude. What's the guy's name?
Edward Burns.
Is Ed Burns in that?
Maybe,
like Rosie O'Donnell's in it, which.
I could be wrong. What's
that guy's name? Oh, he's a really cool guy. I can't remember. Anyway,
I don't know. I hadn't seen that thing in years.
Anyway.
Michael Rapaport.
Was it Michael Rapaport? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I
was trying to think of
what
everybody who was in
that
a movie.
Guy.
Who knows, man?
He had a pretty good career there for a couple
of
years.
He was good. You ever seen Copland?
I did see
That's Copland. A really good movie, man. That's a really good movie.
Is Michael Rapaport in that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I saw that at the theater, and it was one of those where after I saw it, I'm like, I don't know what I thought about this. But then when you think about it, it's a really good.
Yeah, where Stallone, man, he really played against his type in that.
Yeah,
man.
He did. Yeah, he did.
He gained a bunch of weight to play that part.
You know who doesn't play against their types?
Who's that?
That's us, Mark.
You're right.
So if you're listening to this, you can go to doubledropkick.com. You can listen to all of our episodes there. Look around. We've mentioned a lot of great movies. All those movies you can watch, you can buy the DVD on Amazon. And on the right-hand side, you can click on the Amazon banner, buy them there, put a little change in our cup. But a lot of these movies are on Amazon Prime. I know Avengers was for a long time.
The Professional with Natalie Portman and Jean Reno. That's another good one.
Yeah, that's
it's
a good
one there.
Don't know about Beautiful Girls. I don't know if that's on there or not. That's the difference between me and Mark. I'm watching Beautiful Girls, and he's watching The Professional. But we would love to hear from you. Are we completely wrong about Marvel Phase 1? Was it horrible? Do you hate it? Did you hate we didn't talk about Gotham a whole lot. We'll save that
We'll
save that for another time. I really enjoyed Season 1 of
Gotham. I've enjoyed the first half. I haven't really finished the second half.
I'm not going to spoil it because the last scene of the season finale, I jumped off my couch. Really? It was a mark out moment. Hmm. Doesn't match canon necessarily, but I marked out. I thought it was awesome. I think they're doing a good. Yeah, I think it's good.
I have to check it out.
We're on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken. Mark is
at the DDK Show.
You can go there. We didn't do marking out with Mark today, but you can use the hashtag marking out with Mark and send him your questions about wrestling, pop culture, albums, grind films, these different things.
Grindhouse films. Grind films. Wow. Grindhouse films.
That's the third strike.
Yeah, it's two different things. You probably know the answer to that, too.
I've
seen enough of them over the years.
If ever I need a Snickers, now's the time. Yeah,
Heath, you get a little Larry Flint when you hadn't had a Snickers.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I'd have left you wanting more today. As always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.